You're listening to The Breakfast Show on Faith FM. This is Scaffy, and I have Lasse here with me in the studio together with Shell and Brian, the producers now. I have a couple of producers today. Hey,
big Brian on the decks, getting it done. We love it. We love to see it.
We have a next quiz question. Lawson, while the Ark of the Covenant was in a Philistine's temple, what was broken apart twice?
Yeah. Oh, this is such an interesting story.
It's an interesting story.
We'll get into it.
It's a very interesting
story.
We'll
get into it later because we don't want to give away too many details.
But something fell and broke down.
Yeah.
Twice.
If you know the answer to that one, 0491-064-669. That is the number to text. And if you text with the correct answer, you go into the draw to win. We have two books here, Sisters in Arms and As Bright as the Stars. Both of these books going over amazing figures of Reformation history, looking at people who stood for God's word, who gave their life for God's word. Sisters in Arms is a particular focus on women of the Reformation era who did amazing things. And then we have As Bright as the Stars, which is actually Suki's new book, getting into some figures who are part of Reformation history
so,
as well.
Listener, if you have a friend, a significant other in your life, a woman perhaps, that you would like to give them a gift that is suitable to their greatness, to their moral integrity and fiber, this is your chance. Now, Lawson, I know that people sometimes say, oh, I'll never get in. There's thousands and thousands upon thousands of people that are participating. But I'll tell you, I think that your chances are much better if you do send the message. Oh, I do not know the answer. Try the answer.
Just send it in.
It's
just
worth it.
Just send anything.
It's not only going to make you the most interesting person in the room, but it will allow you to gift a loved one with an incredible gift, a thoughtful gift, curated by Shell, the producer herself. She's a great gift picker.
Absolutely.
And you will look good on behalf of Faith FM.
Right.
We love it. We want our listeners to succeed. We want you to succeed in everything spiritual, health, mental, politics. We want you to win that prize. So send this message to 0491-064-669. What has broken down after it fell twice
in the Philistines temple. I love this angle, Joseph. You know, I am all for enabling people to flirt. You know, so hey, look, we're doing it in the most wholesome way. You'll get these amazing books at 0491-064-669 is the number to text.
Braden sent us a message that's related to the news that we commented in the previous block about Bruce Lerman and Brittany Higgins, and this is what he said. He said,
it says here, in regards to the Lerman trial, you have it correct. We should not be partaking in substance that lowers our ability to think clearly or be promoting others to do the same. Though I do think both parties need to think about their actions.
Absolutely, Braden. You are very right. And I believe that Justice Michael Lee was very clear when he said that both witnesses, in referring to both Mr. Lerman and Ms. Higgins, that neither of them have been found to be reliable witnesses. You know, and their stories were not matching up in several instances. So absolutely, you know, there's definitely something for both of them to learn, and we hope that they can learn and grow spiritually as well. By no means do I think that should lower the guilt that he should hold against himself. I think he's talking about, you know, feeling guilty. You know, Lawson, a lot of people say, oh, guilt is not a good thing. Guilty is within the range of emotions that God has endowed us with. Guilt is a great thing. You know what? Well, there's false guilt.
Yeah.
And there's the true guilt.
And there's even
do you know why guilt is good, Lawson? Why do you think guilt is actually can be helpful?
I think guilt is helpful because it gives us a sense of, you know, right and wrong. It enables us to change and to, because it's a feeling that makes us want to change. You know, we want to exit the guilty state. And unfortunately, you know, there should be one option, which is that we change. There's two options that people take, you know, either we change as a result of feeling guilt and we strive to be better, or in some people's case, they hide guilt, they shove guilt down and they keep you know, continuing in the wrong thing that they're doing.
Lawson, God gave you wisdom beyond the years of your age. I think you're very right. And look, it's like the moral compass. If one point of the compass is anger, so that we feel towards when we see an injustice, the other side is guilt, because anger towards injustice usually relates to something wrong that we see in others that needs to change. Guilt is something that wrong that we see in ourselves that needs to be changed. So guilt is basically saying, hey, you know what? I've done something wrong. I need to change my life.
Without guilt, we would be spiritually leprous. Let me explain that thought.
That was a tweetable quote, Lawson.
Let me explain that.
Without guilt, we would be spiritual leprous. Yes. Now, expand on it, please, for us.
Well, leprosy is ultimately, you know, people think of leprosy and body parts falling off and whatnot. It's like, how does that happen? Leprosy is ultimately a disease of the nerves, is that you can't feel when it is that you're receiving a cut or getting an infection or whatever it may be. And
it makes you insensitive.
And because of that, the body doesn't know how to respond to physical trauma, and that's when, you know, your body's parts start falling off. Guilt is that same painful feeling that we have. You know, we receive a cut, the body feels it and subconsciously. It sends the right things there to be able to heal the cut and to enable us to come through that. Guilt does the same thing. It's this, and the Bible even calls it at one point, you know, we see the people who were receiving the preaching from Peter, and they say, we're cut to the heart. They feel convicted. They feel guilty over their sin. And what is Peter?
That's a great analogy.
Them off? He's saying, hey, like, you guys were responsible for putting Jesus on the cross. And they say, we're cut to the heart. We feel guilty for what we've done.
I really like that analogy. And it's guilty compared to actually feeling the actual pain.
Now,
there's false guilt as well. False guilt is when you're feeling guilty by something that is actually not wrong. It's not a sin. People are, maybe they're guilt tripping you. So the only way for you to really, really know is to spend time in God's word.
Absolutely.
Spend time with Jesus. He is the one who can actually give the true guilt. The guilt that leads to repentance. The guilt that leads to healing. The guilt that leads to righteousness. Not the false guilt that just leads to pain and shame and
shame
and
is another
things.
Outcome of guilt that is hurting us to stuff guilt down. There are some people who would throw off guilt and just say, hey, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. But there are some people who internalize it as shame, and they say, oh, this is because I'm wrong, I'm faulty, there's no way that I can change. That is that deep sense of shame. And shame does not come from God.
No.
Like this, let's make a clear distinction here. Shame does not come from God, but guilt.
Yes.
The feeling of, hey,
because
this is
shame
wrong,
is when you're overgeneralizing and you're basically judging yourself and attributing to yourself an identity based on your past sin versus building your identity based in God's word. And God says, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. He gave his life for you at the cross because you are of infinite value, listener, before the eyes of God. So before the only pair of eyes that count in the entire universe, you are precious, you are beloved, you are wanted.
Absolutely. And maybe you're thinking this morning, well, how can I make that distinction? Guilt and shame and true guilt, false guilt. Well, actually, our Bible study
is
titled,
what a great introduction,
Safeguarded by the Word. You know, we were talking about how do we know, how can we discern the truth by God's Word? And I love this as a concept, safeguarded or kept safe by God's word. It is the words of the Bible, the advice that it gives, the clear counsel and instruction that keeps us safe in this life. Now, you might be thinking, well, there are many people, you know, as our books, Sisters in Arms and As Bright as the Stars, and if we look at the life of the early Christians and whatnot, it's like, well, they weren't kept safe by God's word. In fact, they were put in lots of danger because of God's word. You know, you see, I love Paul's story. I love the book of Acts, and thinking of, like, as soon as he decided, I'm going to preach Jesus, he is immediately persecuted. You know, he lived by the sword, and all of a sudden he was going to die by the sword. And I'm thinking of the story where he gets lowered out of the city in a basket.
Yes.
You know, he went to Damascus to kill Christians. He arrives there. On the way there, he has his conversion story. He rocks up, he preaches God's word, and as a result, he's going to be killed. Like, this is the experience the Pauls has. And the question is, okay, how is the word safeguarding us? Isn't the word making, well, for Paul, isn't it making his life more dangerous? And I think it brings up a next question, a further question, which is, what is safety? Like, what is God trying to keep us safe from? Is it just to keep our life intact, or does God have a greater or higher ideal of our eternal safety?
Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
Lawson, that is very interesting. What is the Bible safeguarding us for? Well, let's take a look in some foundational texts, because after all, this is a study about the origin of evil, the great controversy, and the title of our study this morning is Safeguarded by the Word. So John chapter 17, verses 15 to 17 provide with us with a foundation to the idea of the Word of God. Yeah. Let us read it.
This is powerful. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. This is Jesus speaking here and talking about his disciples. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one.
Just pause there, Lawson. Just pause there. You know, I was just listening this morning. The CEO of Open Doors, mm-hmm. which is an international watchdog that monitors religious persecution around the world, particularly against Christians, he said that he's making an appeal for churches to support Christians that are in persecuted countries. And this is what he said: we're not praying that you take them out of that situation, but that we ask you that you pray that they will find the strength to witness to Jesus in spite of their surroundings. This immediately reminded me of that passage that you're reading now, because Jesus is saying here, I do not pray to the Father that you take them out of the world, meaning out of persecution, out of troubles, out of problems. This is not Jesus's prayer. Jesus does not pray, hey, I'm praying that you get out of that situation, but that they should keep them from the evil one. Yes. That they should not allow the evil one to make the most out of the situation, to enter into their minds, to defeat their faith. Keep going.
It continues. It says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world.
Okay, stop. There's so much stuff here, Lawson.
We're pulling the handbrake.
They are not of the world. We are not of the world. Does that mean that we are aliens, or does it mean that that Christians, the followers of Jesus, operate by different values
from
the world?
Essentially, the followers of Jesus have started swimming upstream. Yeah, it's
swimming upstream. That's a great analogy.
They're going one direction, you know. And what's beautiful here is Jesus doesn't say this in the sense of this would be a sentiment held by many Jews at the time, but not because of actions, but rather because of lineage. Hey, we are not the same as everyone else. We are God's chosen people. We are different. Jesus rather is talking about the call of discipleship and the decision that the disciples have made to follow him. And it's like, because they have decided to
follow
me,
they
are not of this world.
Because a lot of times we think that this world is all that we have. And we embrace it, and we do things trying because we are afraid of losing it. But Jesus says, my disciples, they know that this world is not their home. We are peregrines here. We are wanderers here. We are ambassadors from a different world in this planet. So we don't need to embrace this world. Now, I'm not saying that we should not be. Jesus says, I'm not telling them to be out of this world, hiding yourself somewhere out in the middle of the bush and not having any human contact with anyone. This is not what it's saying here. It reminds me a little bit the words of Bishop Marmari, that is in hospital today because he was unfortunately, tragically stabbed in Sydney this Monday. But he says, you know what? When he received these death threats on TikTok a couple of weeks before, he said, you know what? If I die, I'm not afraid because this home is not my, this planet is not my home. We're not, and I think that he understood that allowed him to be bold and to continue doing his job, his mission, in spite of the threats.
Yeah, I loved the point that you made there about ambassadorship. of a different world. As the Bible says in Romans 12, in verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." You know, the point being made here that, again, why is it that we can, you know, not fall into the ways of the world, not be a part of the ways of the world, not strive to, be the pinnacle of success according to worldly standards? And it's because, yeah, we have a different home. We have been transformed by the power of Christ, and we now have a job. You know, our new job isn't to climb up the ranks of this earth, but rather to reflect and to tell people of,
yes,
a new world.
Yes. And Lawson, now comes the punchline.
Yeah.
So far, this is just the introduction. Jesus is saying, "Father, I do not pray that you take them out of this world, but that you keep them from the evil one." And how? What is the means, the primary means that Jesus uses to do that? Verse 17
says simply here, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth."
Boom. Mic drop now. In a world that relativizes what is truth? Oh, Lawson, you have your truth, I have my truth. There's no such a thing as a truth. Jesus is saying here, against all of the current ethos and the zeitgeist, the spirit of the time of our society, of our postmodern liquid society, your word is the truth.
And to sanctify them as well.
What does that mean? This is a word that we often don't use in our vernacular.
Yeah.
What does that mean, Lawson?
Well, I think whenever we talk about sanctification, it should be shared in the context of, you know, there's two other words that usually go along with it, which is justification and glorification. And glorification we can leave for a little bit. But
yeah, sanctification, what does that mean?
Sanctification is kind of this middle process of when we become justified, we experience justification. This is, and people say it like this, that justification is the work of a moment. When we ask God for forgiveness, when we confess our sins,
to be justified is to be declared righteous. To say, hey, you know what? You and God, we are good.
That gift from God. But sanctification is a process.
It's a journey, yes.
A journey that God takes us on of working through us to change and grow us.
Love it.
The reason why we need this, the Bible says.
Yes.
The Bible says, "Can an Ethiopian change his skin? Can a leopard change his spots? Neither can you who are accustomed to do evil do good things." You know, God obviously wants to enable us to do good things. But the question is, well, how can us who are accustomed to do evil even conceive of doing them, have the power or be enabled to do them? This is the work of sanctification, that God says, "I will do a work in you to change you and to enable you to do good works."
So can I say that sanctification is the transformation,
yes,
of one's life in the direction of becoming more and more like God, like,
yeah,
Jesus.
By,
because God says, "I am holy, therefore I want you to be holy. I am not in power, but in character."
And what I love about the concept of sanctification, and maybe some of the misconceptions that people have had, is that it's, you know, sanctification is not self-help. Sanctification is not self-help. There's principles that God advises us for, but the true concept and essence of sanctification is that it is God's work in you.
You're growing and becoming into the image of God that God has always dreamed for you. You're becoming the man, you're becoming the woman that God has knows that you can become through whatever ordeal you're going through. Every day, we can become a little bit more like Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
In how we relate to himself, in how we relate to ourselves and to others. And Lawson, I love that. I think that we are off to a great start here, because I have another passage to you. And these are some of the last words that we hear from the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
And this is found in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. What does the Apostle Paul think about the Bible and how to protect, you know, how to protect ourselves from the snares of Satan in this world? Can you read that one?
The last advice that he would share with the disciples here in Ephesus before being captured and, you know, put in jail and going through, you know, all different trials and circumstances before going to Rome. He says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified."
Stop everything.
Mm.
Lawson, what is it true that Paul in the last word that he has to his disciples in Ephesus is, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace.
Yeah. Which, and talking about the effect of that as well.
And why? What is the effect?
The effect is, which is able to build you up and give you.
Build you up.
Which I think build you up, sanctification.
The same thing. We're talking about the same concept here, aren't we?
Experiencing sanctification, but furthermore, give you an inheritance amongst all those who are sanctified. God, ultimately pointing
to... What is this inheritance that he's talking about?
We're talking about heaven here.
We're talking about
eternal
heaven,
life.
Eternal life, infinite life, infinite, if you want to use that word, wealth.
Mm.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And I'll tell you this, Lawson, I am grateful that in this radio... We don't get to hear a whole bunch of ads during the breakfast show. Isn't it just a relief that we're speaking the truth, man? We are hearing incredible songs. We don't want to, we're not hearing, and this is only possible because of you, listener, who supports us with your generous donations that allow us to bring an independent, free speech loving show that is aimed at nothing but to connect you closer to the wonderful God that created everything.
Absolutely. We are so blessed, man.
We are so blessed.
And, you know, I reflect on my journey with Faith FM and the time that I've
jingles,
been here.
These jingles about paints and cars and car parts that just hijack your brain for the rest of your day. But you will have positive thoughts.
We have our next quiz question. Who opened the jail doors and released the arrested apostles? If you know the answer to that one, 0491-064-669 again in Acts. Who opened the jail doors and released the arrested apostles? If you answer that correctly, Sisters in Arms and As Bright as the Stars by Suki Gunatilleki, they'll go to you absolutely for free. And listen, guys, these are amazing books.
And it's a tip for you. It was not a wombat because, you know, Lawson, it looks like nobody knows what is the shape of the wombat's droppings. And I'll tell you here, in national radio, is a square/cube.
That is the most wild thing ever.
It's wild. You Google it and you will find it for yourself.
I'm okay. But you say there was a chocolate.
There's a chocolate called Wombat Poo chocolate that I once saw being sold somewhere. I do not know who's the person that does it, but you know what? I felt tempted to even get. Actually, this is how I found out in the first place. So Google that; you will find out. Let's go back to our Bible discovery, our encounter with God in our 20 million movement. By the way, if you would like to receive and to get access to a free Bible study guide, a guide that will walk you through the Bible. What can you do, Lawson, if you are interested?
Simply this, www.sabbath.school.
Sabbath.
And you'll find it right there.
sabbath.school. And you'll find that, or you can download the Sabbath School app as well into your mobile phones, wherever you are. If you're an Android user like Lawson, if you were an Apple user like me, and like most, you know, sane-minded people.
Okay.
You know, most tech-savvy people.
I knew that was coming. Hey, let's have a debate of Apple versus Android.
Let's go back. Yes, right. Because, you know, it's not by Apple nor by Android, but by the Spirit of the Lord. This is the only important thing that matters here. Lawson, I have a psalm that I want to read for you, a song, Psalm 119 in verse 105. And there's a few different Bible passages here that are talking to us about the word of God. We're talking about, you know, how Jesus says that you are sanctified, you're transformed, you are changed, you are becoming more like the image of God, that very thing that you were designed to be by the word of God. And the Apostle Paul says in the same way. Let's look at what the Psalms has to say about the power, about the glory of the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, the greatest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119.
Yeah, Psalm 119, well, it's an interesting chapter because it's all about, you'll see in every single, you know, group of verses, every single part of Psalm 119, they have some uplifting of God's word and his law or whatever it may be. And the most classic here in Psalm 119 and 105, the Bible says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
All right. So your word is a lamp to my feet and the light to my path. What do you think this is a metaphor for?
Yeah, well, it's a metaphor for walking in the dark. You know, I love it here. It's if you're
it's enlightened.
That's right.
The word enlightens that which was previously unknown or dark.
Yeah, absolutely.
To us.
You know, Jesus would, I think, put a bit of a spin on this. He says, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you and you stumble, you know. It's saying here, hey, well, what is that light? What is that thing that enables us to have vision? And it's saying here, it's God's word.
That's right. And you know what, Lawson? The future is compared to darkness.
Mm.
In the sense that we do not know what it holds.
Mm.
We do not know what is there. But if you have a lamp to your feet to guide you in your immediate steps, that means that even though you might not know what the future brings, what is the situation, what is going to happen to you, you will know your immediate next step if you know God's word.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
It's fantastic because we are so myopic as people.
God is not saying, I'll tell you exactly everything that's going to happen to your life in the very next years, but I'll say, I will guide you step by step. The next step, you can step it with confidence if you stay attached to my word.
And we need it. You know, we have,
oh yeah,
we have 1,000 decisions that we make every day, every week, every month, you know, in different directions that we're going, life's ups and downs and whatnot. And we need guidance from God. And the Bible is a fantastic resource of guidance, as Jesus himself identifies in the word. He says, I am the word.
And you know, what does that have to do with the whole topic here? You know, this is what I get from the 20 million movement guide here. Satan hates the word of God. And why is that? Because the word of God contains that which allows human beings to become more like the thing that Satan hates the most, which is to become more like Jesus.
Yes.
The Bible, and look, we can get to know about God from multiple sources, Lawson. From nature, other people.
Mm-hmm.
But if it weren't for the Bible, would we know about the plan of salvation?
No.
How much would we understand about the birth, life, teachings, and ministry of Jesus, for instance? And there's people today, one of the deceptions that I see going on in Christian circles is to say that the Bible is nothing but a natural book. It's nothing but the opinion of men and women, you know, like fishermen and kings and shepherds and priests. They're sharing their understandings of and their conceptions of gods. And this is basically what it is. People talking about God. But if this was true, why would that even be relevant for us today, to be honest? Why would we care in the 21st century what a first century shepherd thought about the world, about God? Should that inform our lives? That argument basically shatters all the authority of the Bible.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Yes, guys, we have the most animated, heated, friendly, inspiring conversations here off the air. I just wish we could bring one of our listeners to the studio just to witness that.
Maybe it would get canceled.
Lawson, you know, I do not mind. We start another one. You know, we can start one in Trump's social media.
We call it Faith FM 2. That's awesome.
So if you want to participate, let us know, 0491-064-669. We might bring that that request to the boss and convince that this is a great idea.
Hey,
you come to the studios. We are in the beautiful hills of Currumbong.
Well, you know,
New
the
South
hills
Wales.
Of Currumbong. I love
that. Well, there's
that.
Some hills here, Lawson. Yeah, okay. You know, you can ride your bike in them.
That's right. But hey, we do want to say we are going to be broadcasting from Big Camp. You can come and see us if you're going to be attending the North New South Wales Big Camp in Stewart's Point up near Coffs Harbour.
Open to the public.
Over the next week. Hey, you can come along, meet us, and
just look for Big Camp.
I'm selling merch on Super Sunday.
That's right, guys.
Yes.
You will be so blessed.
We would love to connect with you on Super Sunday or just throughout the camp. You know, particularly you, the early birds of our society, of our nation. 0491-064-669. This is the number that you can use to get in touch with us and to even say, hey, I would love to sit next and meet the legendary Lawson Walters here on the studio. It's worth it. The only problem is, ladies, he is already committed. So do not have very high hopes if this is what you were thinking. But Lawson, let's go to the answer of the quiz questions. How many days did the plague of darkness last? I'm going to let my friend Brian.
Big Brian.
Answer that question. Brian.
Yeah, so the days for the plague of darkness lasted approximately 3 days, which is a really, really remarkably long time for some of us who don't live in the polar regions of this earth, where it's for
such
months
as ourselves.
And months, like the penguins, etc. It's really dark there. But recently, some of our listeners may be able to relate, we had a solar eclipse cross America, where I'm from.
Yes, I wish I could see it.
Yeah, they're saying it's like 99% darkness for a period of 15 to 20 minutes or so.
Wow.
That's crazy.
But that make that 3 days.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
3 days. And you know what? Three is a symbolic number in the Bible as well. It represents the Trinity, represents completeness. So it's total and utter darkness. It's symbolizing that as the Egyptians were rejecting the word of God, they were subject to the very thing that they were practicing, utter and total darkness.
Yeah,
wow. Thank you, Brian. That was great. And if you want to win a trip to the polar regions of the world and experience what total darkness means for 6 months, talk to Brian. He might know an operator or two that can take you in that journey.
We are thoroughly deferring.
There is actually cruise ships that take you there, Lawson, and they charge you like $80,000 for 3 months.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be doing this advertisement.
There's also jobs on Antarctica where they pay you probably.
Yeah,
probably
I would
much.
Love to go there.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do a mission trip to the North Pole one day and invite our listeners to join us.
That's incredible.
What was the name of Moses' mother? Mrs. Moses' mom.
That's right. Miss Moses, Mrs. Moses, her name was Jochebed.
Jochebed.
The next one here, what creature bit Paul's hand when he was gathering firewood? It was a viper.
A snake. It was poisonous.
Yeah.
And everybody was just looking at Paul and expecting him to start swelling up, and as he didn't die, they realized, man, this man must be a god, and that ended up opening up a great avenue for a conversation about, hey, I'm not a god,
but I know about him.
I want you to know him as well.
Absolutely. The next one here, while the Ark of the Covenant was in the Philistines' temple, what was broken apart twice? And that was Dagon, the fish god, the idol.
Yes.
It was knocked off the pedestal a couple of times and shattered in pieces.
No idols can withstand in the presence of God. We actually spoke about that yesterday, how idol worshiping was something that was never supposed to enter into Christianity. It's not in the Ten Commandments at all. And unfortunately, these pagan customs did come in. And look, all the respect for people that, worship idols according to their faith. But in Christianity, and idols, this is not in the Bible at all. This is not. And, if you want to convince me otherwise, 0491-064-669. We'd love to have that conversation with you. In Acts, who opened the jail doors and released the arrested apostles, Lawson?
It was an angel sent from God.
It was an angel. Wow. God is delivering and he's showing his mercy unto the disciples that were in prison. And this is what he does. He just shows up whenever we need.
We've come to the end.
We've come to the finish. But not without Lawson's amazing, generous gift that he has every single day. It makes sure that you know that he wants to say goodbye, but only with something in your hands. What is the gift that you're offering,
right,
Lawson, with the Wallet of Faith FM?
Hey, as we do, we unfortunately come to the end of the breakfast show. We've got more programming up after this, but we always make sure to bless you guys. We have a book here. It is called Joy. The Secret of Being Content. Now, this book is all about, we're talking about resilience today. And I feel like resilience comes from a sense of contentment, that you feel as though, hey, the things that I have, the things that God has given me are a blessing and will enable me to do the things he's called me to do. Hey, 0491-064-669, text the word content. Texting the word content. If you are the first texter through, you'll get this book absolutely for free. Joy, The Secret of Being Content. We want to give this one to you. It will be a blessing.
And stay tuned. We will be back tomorrow at 7 a.m. You cannot miss tomorrow's shows. It's going to be great. But do not forget to talk faith, live faith, act faith, and you will grow strong in Jesus Christ. Ciao.
God be with you till we meet again. Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.